Frederick Rolando is president of the National Association of Letter Carriers and talking about the situation with finances at the Postal Service. And Mr. President, thank you for your time today. First of all, as we look at the numbers that the Postal Service has released talking about what their second quarter results look like, there's a discrepancy between what you see in those numbers and what the Postal Service themselves see when they look at those numbers. Tell me about those different points of view, sir. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me on today. Interestingly, there's not really a discrepancy in the numbers. All the numbers are the Postal Service's numbers. The discrepancy or difference, if you will, is how they're presented. Essentially, what we're trying to point out in their numbers is that the Postal Service is now showing an operational profit. They are taking in more money than they're spending to process and deliver the mail. If you take into consideration some of the other things that the Postal Service presents in their numbers, they are taking into effect things that have nothing to do with the operations, that have more to do with the manufactured crisis that was caused by Congress in requiring the Postal Service to pre-fund their future retiree health benefits for the next 75 years at a cost of $100 billion. Now, the Postal Service made those payments for as long as they could. They have an account that they have no access to that has about $50 billion in it. But what they keep having to carry on the books is this $5.6 billion payment that they're no longer making because they no longer have the money to do that. And they're showing that to offset the operational profits when, in fact, they are making money doing what we do, processing and delivering the mail.
The bottom line is the discrepancy appears to come from expenses that the Postal Service has to pay, and I think Joe Davidson did a good job in the Washington Post in pointing these out. They show net income on this 10Q, which we have a link to at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, of $261 million for the first quarter of calendar 2014. It's actually the second quarter of the Postal Service's fiscal year.
That's correct.
But they also then have to make payments of $708 million, according to Joe's story, for workers' compensation and about $1.4 billion for pre-funding retiree health benefits, which you alluded to a moment ago. Now, it strikes me that this is maybe some accounting speak, but as you say, the numbers are what the numbers are, and the fact of the matter is that you and the Postal Service and Congress can argue about whether they need to make those payments, but they still have to right now, and so the bottom line is the Postal Service isn't bringing in more money than they're having to put out. Did I miss something in the calculation there?
Well, that wasn't the point we were making. The point we were making is that they are operationally profitable, because what we're trying to do legislatively, of course, is to correct the pre-funding or find another way to pay for it. What we want to show is that the Postal Service is now working at an operational profit for what we do for a living. The workers' compensation payment, it fluctuates. It's a paper figure. It's not a payment that they make. It fluctuates with interest rates. If you look at the first quarter of the fiscal year, you could add another half a billion dollars to what the profit would have been. But of course, we don't do that because it's not an operational figure. It's a paper figure. In the second quarter, it went the other way. It fluctuates with the interest rates. The workers' compensation, again, it's a payment that they're not making. They haven't made for quite a while because they've already got $50 billion in the fund. But operationally, they are now making money and continue to do so each month.
So if Congress agrees with you then that operationally the Postal Service is healthy, what does that mean from your point of view about the business model and any potential changes that Postal Service management would like to make to the business model?
Well, what it means, what it should mean legislatively, if the Postal Service should concentrate on figuring out how to fix this manufactured crisis rather than attacking the workers, rather than attacking the networks that are really responsible for the operational profit. It's because of the networks that we have that we've seen this boom in e-commerce and the profits of the increase in the parcel delivery and so forth. So I think it's really important that the Congress concentrate on figuring out how to address the pre-funding fiasco. Because again, operationally, you know, we've gotten through the worst recession in 80 years. The internet that caused us to lose first class mail is now bringing us revenue and with plenty of growth for the e-commerce. And I think everybody recognizes the so-called crisis is in fact manufactured by this pre-funding requirement that nobody else has to do. So I think looking forward, what we have to do is figure out how can we allow the Postal Service to continue to grow, to continue to use their networks, to continue this operational profit while addressing the pre-funding. And, you know, not necessarily eliminating the pre-funding, but finding other ways to pay for it, which there's plenty of other ways to do so.
Frederick Rolando's president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. It strikes me, Mr. President, that you would want to make sure that your members, as they head toward retirement, will be secure in their with their health benefits being funded well, and trying to avoid some of the issues that retirees see in both health benefits and pension benefits around the country. We see very high levels of funding deficits. Is it your sense that there's a middle ground that should be fairly easily reached that would reduce the obligation of the Postal Service now and still maintain the benefits that your members will see in the future?
Yeah, as far as the pre-funding of future retiree health benefits, it's never been an issue, just like it isn't for any other agency. It's a pay-as-you-go. When the bill becomes due every year, you make the payment, you have the retiree health benefits paid. What we're required to do is do it to 75 years in the future, which nobody else is required to do. On the other hand, if that's something that the Postal Service wants to do, there's other ways to do it, other than to attack the networks, which they need to survive. There's other ways to do it through reform of the way we do our health care, through Medicare integration. There's a number of different ways, using surpluses in the civil service pension. So we're not necessarily saying don't pre-fund, even though nobody else has to do it. At a minimum, we should be able to do what other agencies do, is just pay as you go. If we want to do more than that, there's other ways to do it, other than to, again, attack the networks that we need to grow.
You mentioned the networks, and I'd like to ask you, in the time that we have left, Mr. President, what is your sense of how that network transition is going, given that the Postal Service is moving from the first-class mail delivery model to a much heavier parcel delivery model? Is that transition working well for your members, and are they getting the infrastructure investments that they need from the Postal Service to do their jobs successfully?
Sure. I mean, it's the future. It's the future of the company. You're going to see the first class mail, the standard mail, stabilize, which it's already begun to do, and now you just see this increase of parcels. The infrastructure, obviously, the vehicles that we're going to need in the future will probably change in some way, but we're well equipped to deliver to parcels every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week. I mean, that's what we do.